Community Conversations on 95.1 The Bull, brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center, delivering exceptional personalized health care with compassion. I'm Mark Pitts, joined now by Lisa Welter, Administrator of Chickasaw County Public Health, with our January update. January is Radon Awareness Month, Lisa. Let's begin there. What should people know?
January is Radon Awareness Month, and radon is a radioactive gas, and it forms naturally in the soil. So how this happens is uranium that is found in the soil and in rocks, it starts to break down. And as it breaks down, it eventually turns to radon gas. So the entire state of Iowa is considered high risk for radon gases in homes, buildings, and schools due to the high levels that's present in the soil. Radon can enter through cracks in walls, basement floors, foundation, and other openings. You cannot smell or taste the radon, so it's hard to detect it. And radon is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers and second leading cause of lung cancer in smokers. This is why it's really important to test your homes for radon. It's the one thing that we can do to prevent cancer. So it is recommended to test your home for radon every 2 years. And Chickasaw County Public Health and Environmental Health, we do have a limited number of radon tests here for sale. The tests cost $20 each, but there's no additional processing fee to those. They're a short-term test, so they're really easy to complete. You just fill out the appropriate blanks on the test that is given to you. You hang the test up for the appropriate amount of time, and then you mail the test back in. The directions are right inside that kit that we give you, and they're very easy to follow. The results of the test are then sent to you. So to get a test, you can either stop by our office, or if Derek is coming out to test your water, you can ask him to bring one, and he'll bring one along with him. And then we'll also be out in the community in January for the Radon Awareness Month, providing radon education, again, selling those tests. And then we're going to try to get a nurse out there to do some free blood pressures also. So our community event, one of them that we have planned is going to be at Bucky's in Lawler, and that'll be January 16th from 10 a.m. to 12.
Next topic on the list, think at the sink. What should we be thinking about there?
So another environmental health topic is what we can put and not put down the sink. This is really important to go over. It helps to protect our plumbing and septic systems. So we want to avoid putting the following items down your garbage disposal or the drain at all. So any fibrous and stringy foods. So these types of foods can wrap around disposal blades, and they can actually cause clogs. So this would be anything from like celery, corn husks, onion skins, and banana peels. Anything that's starchy and expandable. So what happens when these get in the pipes is they swell because the water going down, and they can actually block pipes. So this would be things like pasta, potatoes and potato peels, rice and bread. Anything that has fats, oils, and greases, and they call this fog, F-O-G, they harden pipes and damage septic systems, actually. So this could be things like cooking oil, animal fats, bacon grease and drippings, butter, mayonnaise, and then fat-based sauces, too. And then any other food items that don't break down well, it can also harm your system. So this could be things like coffee grounds, eggshells, beans, carrots, carrot peels, clam or oyster shells, large amounts of fruits or vegetable peels, and then bones. And some non-food items that we never want to flush because they don't break down and they can cause some serious plumbing and septic failures are any non-food items, so cigarette butts, paper towels, wipes, and this actually includes flushable wipes, feminine hygiene products like tampons and pads, condoms, cat litter, diapers, pharmaceutical or medication, and chemicals and bleaches. We want to make sure not to put those down the septic system.
We brought the subject in at think at the sink, but also obviously what you're talking about there, Lisa, also applies to the toilets as well. It's just things that should not go down the drain.
Correct. Yep. So the stuff that we started out at the beginning is try not to put that in your garbage disposal, like you had mentioned. And then as we got down further, it's other things not to put in your septic system because they could cause clogs. And actually, if you follow this, it'll save you money in the long run.
Absolutely. I've been through this before, so I've learned the lesson the hard way myself. Talking with Lisa Welter, Administrator, Chickasaw County Public Health. Next up, illness and antibiotic use. So what would you like to inform people about there?
Yeah, so want to give credit here at the beginning. My cousin Megan Miller is a DNP, or family nurse practitioner, at Floyd County Memorial Hospital. And I did ask her if she could give us any advice on sicknesses and antibiotic use, because I know we've talked about this in the past. She said it's really important to understand that many cold-like respiratory illnesses are caused by viruses and aren't caused by bacteria. And so viruses do not require antibiotics for treatment. Antibiotics work only on bacteria that causes us to be sick, and again, not those viruses that cause us to be sick. So signs or symptoms that may require antibiotic treatment would be if you're having symptoms for 10 to 14 days or more, any purulent drainage, so this would be like pus or mucus type of drainage, prolonged fever, and a persistent cough that won't go away. So viruses typically resolve on their own and with symptomatic care. So maybe you might need a humidifier, some over-the-counter medications to deal with your symptoms like stuffy nose and headache and that type of stuff, hydration, so lots of water, and then rest. Make sure to wash your hands and cover your coughs. You want to stay away from others if you're not feeling well, and this is to prevent that spread of illness to other people. And if you have any questions or concerns, always reach out to your health care provider or make an appointment for an evaluation with them.
All right. Let's talk get the lead out. And I don't think this is probably in somebody's New Year's resolution to, you know, you get out there and get exercising. let's get the lead out.
Yep. So get the lead out is kind of a fairly newer, or a new one that I've heard about. Statewide program, and it's to find out how much lead is actually in our drinking water. So lead is a toxic metal which can be harmful to human health. It's carried through the bloodstream in different parts of your body, like the nervous system and the brain, so it can be really harmful to our body. Lead that is in the body, we can't get rid of it. It's a lot of times absorbed by the bones, teeth, and organs. So once it's in there, a lot of times it's in there for a lifetime. So we want to be mindful and prevent that from even happening. Young children are usually tested for the lead levels before they go to kindergarten, and that's because they're very vulnerable to these exposures, and their body absorbs lead faster. So we definitely want to catch, you know, having a lot of lead in their system. There's also still developing, the kids are still developing, so it can lead to more damage of, like, the brain and things like that. So there are test kits available on the gettheleadout.uiowa.edu website. So I do believe this is for anyone, and it doesn't have to just be well owners. You can go to the website, which is, again, gettheleadout.uiowa.edu. And when you get to the website, you click on the yellow Apply for Testing Kit button, which is right on the screen. And you'll receive a test kit with sampling instructions. So anytime that I put something out, I try to do it first, or if I train my employees to on different stuff, I like to do it first just so I know what it all entails. So I actually went to this website and I applied for a testing kit and received that last week in the mail. So it's a big box and it has all the testing kit stuff in there. It has a mailback label that you can put on the box that it came in to mail back those samples and things like that. And you can mail it back free of charge through the post office. So one of the most important things is that you should not use your water for 6 hours before the testing. And so this is so it's more accurate. And if there is lead in the pipes, it'll be in the test so that we can tell. But it was very simple instructions to follow. There's just a couple, I think it was three bottles that I filled up. And then there's a cup that's in there that you have to dump out a couple times. But it gives step-by-step directions. So then I mailed that back. I didn't get my results back, but when you do get the results back, if lead was not detected, the water is safe to drink. If lead was detected at low levels, it's acceptable to drink, but there may be concern for pregnant women, infants, and children who are under 6 years of age. If there's a medium level, we have a concern for that water, and if it's a high level, there's a serious concern. So on the website under what to do, what do my test results mean, it will give you different guidance on what level that your water came back as. So then you know what to do with your water and recommendations. So we also want to put in here, too, that our office is still doing water testing for private well owners. It's free of charge. So this is a different program, but we do just regular water testing. So if you're interested, you can still call our office and talk to Derek. and that's 641-394-4053, and he can help you make an appointment. And for our well testing for private well owners, it's recommended to test yearly. But this Get the Lead Out program is a great program. You know, a lot of us don't think about the lead that could be in our pipes and different things like that. So it would be good to find out what's in your water.
Talking with Lisa Welter, Administrator, Chickasaw County Public Health. Your department, along with Chickasaw County EMS, joined forces back in late November and into December for a food drive for local food pantries and things like that. How did that drive go? How were you able to help people?
Yes. So on behalf of Chickasaw County Public Health and the EMS department, we just want to thank everyone who donated food for our first annual public health EMS food pantry fundraiser, which again was last month, like you said. We were able to donate food to four different local food pantries in our area. So very successful food drive.
All right. Lisa Welter, great information as always. If people have questions or anything that maybe they feel that your office can help with there at Chickasaw County Public Health, how should they reach out to you guys?
Sure. We do have a Facebook page, Chickasaw County Public Health. You can always message me on there, or our phone number is 641-394-4053, and we're always here to help answer questions or give some guidance and come up with some resources for you if you need it.
Again, Lisa Welter joining us from Chickasaw County Public Health. Lisa, we'll talk to you again next month.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Our community conversation brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center on 95.1 The Bull.